You are listening to Downtown Voices.
Baltimore uprising began when police caused the death of a 25-year-old black man named Freddie Gray. The unrest that followed highlighted underlying tensions in the city. Today we are asking residents what has changed since the uprising and what they hope will change. But first we are asking residents what problems they saw revealed during the uprising. We are at the Lexington Market talking to Jonathan Curtis about how he feels after the events of last April.
Being not only a black man, we get racially profiled just like everyone else. It's tough. It's tough. It's like, I mean, the biggest takeaway is how do I raise my son in a society like this?
In the busy arcade of the Lexington Market, the Marvin brothers tell us that the police are the real problem in Baltimore.
The one thing I hate about Baltimore, f***ing police. I don't hate the police. I hate the way they treat us. Yeah. That's not right. That's not right at all. The way they treat us, that's not right at all. And they got to change. Real soon.
But then our young brothers and sisters?
Right.
They're going to change too.
Right.
Not just the
right.
Police.
Right.
Our young brothers and sisters.
Yo, stop the killing.
Markel Collins, a lifelong resident of East Baltimore, is meeting me on the UMBC campus where he's a student. He is telling me about his experience as a protester last April and how police treated people during the unrest.
In the uprising, I have issues of like police like grabbing people I know. Aggressively for no reason and then lying. I've also seen just like the extreme surveillance of like hovering over people in helicopters and like making all these threats to protesters.
Police helicopters frequently hover over West Baltimore. Sometimes they shine searchlights through windows and use megaphones to call down to pedestrians on the street below. John Comer of Maryland Communities United told a class of UMBC students that helicopters are always flying over West Baltimore, intimidating people and letting them know that they are always being watched.
And even before that, that helicopter, Foxtrot, that hovers over communities, I'm sure they don't hover over yours, but they hover over the community every day damn near. And some people in the community have become accustomed to it, and they don't even think it bothers them, but it bothers the hell out of me.
A year after the uprising, we are asking people what has changed. After all the marches, the tear gas, and the curfews, are things different? We are talking to Leonard Prescott on the sidewalk of Saratoga Street between Park and Howard.
Well, I don't see a change from that point to now. But hopefully that will help to make the change come a little quicker. What I do see is trying to change a lot of years from the way it used to be.
It is hard to identify meaningful change that occurred because of the unrest last April. However, student activist and Baltimore transplant Terrence Pope and Baltimore native and manager of Pinch Dumplings, Chino, are glad that at least now people are talking about the issues facing the city.
I think right now, similar to like Occupy Wall Street, if nothing, if it started the conversation of income inequality, the lack of resources, the utter disenfranchisement of people that live in these impoverished areas, if it starts the conversation, at least it's on the table. Because before it was on the table, but it was a little bit underneath of stacks and stacks of paper. Now it has a shiny little seal. It's sitting at the top. You can't ignore it. It trickles in the sun. You have to address it. And if the conversation progresses to actual action, well, so be it. That's what we hope. But if it doesn't, at least the conversation's still going.
The fact that people are trying to have that conversation is different. And it's not that it hasn't been going on, but it seems like there is like some more interest. And you know what? At a pragmatic level, more interest means more money, and more money greases the wheel. And there have been changes, and I think that there have been changes that will take years to blossom into larger, more systemic differences in the city, and it may take a decade for those things to happen. But the mountain has been moved, and what will begin is like little pieces of rubble falling from the peaks will eventually form into like an avalanche of something, and Baltimore will be a different place in 10 years than it is today, and that will probably be in large part because of what happened in 2015.
Optimistically, Terrence is right. Baltimore will be a different place 10 years from now, hopefully a better place. Ideally, conversations will lead to action that affect lasting change in Baltimore. But as Kalima Young, a PhD candidate at University of Maryland College Park and lifetime Baltimore resident, reminded us, conversations about systemic racism and active resistance aren't new.
But resistance, I'm sorry, poor folks have been resisting since the beginning of frickin' time. And nobody is invested in the damn CVS. So, everybody acting like they had stock in CVS, like it was something, right? Everybody had that stock. What? Anywho, so I think people have been resisting from Jump Street and will continue to resist from Jump Street, and that the face of resistance shifts and changes depending on the current moment. So the uprising is just a moment in a mist of continual uprising that we are doing to address white supremacy and oppression in this country. I feel like we're always in a constant state of uprising. This one was more televised.
The last thing we asked people is what they want for Baltimore and for the people that live here. Terrence Pope and Markel Collins told us their vision for how Baltimore needs to change.
But I think the next step is for the city to take responsibility and to do better. And I think the next step is like trying to figure out how, because obviously there's like much of like development things going on now, right? So it's like development without displacement, development without gentrification, development considering the people that live, the residents of the specific areas.
I want to see people be more successful in the city. And whatever success means, I want to see people be more successful in the city. There's a lot of really wonderful things about this place. And, maybe the lines will never blur between neighborhoods and mesh and have us be one big happy family. But maybe, there are more moments like this, more moments like the protests where people, when it matters, they show up. And I think people do show up. So, I want to see people be successful. That's what I want to see in 10 years, is more success. America is a very large ship, and very large ships take a long time to change direction.
We are back on Saratoga Street, talking to Abdul Aziz.
All I'm going to say is this. On that day of April, totally changed everything, but the news blew it out of proportion. It wasn't out here just because, they killed Freddie Gray, this, that, and the fourth. No. At the end of the day, just like what these police do out here and what these people, lawyers, anybody else, they do on out here, it's all in the system. It's all about the system at the end of the day. And when you're talking about the system, talking about the police getting away with everything. You sitting right here. Oh, they think I got a weapon on me. They let y'all go scot-free. They may have me sitting down here, face all into the dirty ground, everything. They'll let y'all go. They ever think that I'm sitting around here and I'm disturbing y'all? Whole time we're interviewing. Like, anything like that can happen. That's the problem. And when I grew up, police wasn't like that. When they brought that zero tolerance stuff here, you brought more people from out of state, because a lot of these cops, they ain't not even from the state of Maryland.
If nothing else, the uprising highlighted some of Baltimore's problems. The event itself was neither the beginning of trouble nor the end of it. It didn't change everything right away, but maybe we'll begin the process to change some things over time. People are hopeful. Not all change is bad. Some things need to change. Today's piece was written by me, Michael Stone, and produced by Calvin Perry. This radio series, Downtown Voices, was a collaborative project brought to you by the UMBC Baltimore Traces Communities in Transition Project, an annual class dedicated to collecting stories of Baltimore communities as they change and grow. Tune in summer 2017 for the next installment of the Baltimore Traces radio series. Thank you to all of those who lent us their voices, and thank you for listening.
Now look around your neck. this money. Look at all the corporations. If somebody know to know where the money's gone, here's where the money is. You got money for downtown, but don't got money for uptown. Here's where the money is.